And good afternoon. You're listening to Ken Hudnall. This is the Ken Hudnall Show. Coming to you from our studios right here in exciting El Paso, Texas. Gateway to the Old West. And the most haunted city in the country. Well, today's March 23rd, 82nd day of the year. 283 days remain till the year is over with. On this day in 1400, the Tran Dynasty of Vietnam is deposed. After 175 years of rule, they were deposed by Yu Kuai Li, a court official. When you're not happy with how things are going, take over. 1540, Waltham Abbey surrendered to King Henry VIII of England, the last religious community to be closed during the dissolution of the monasteries. 1568, the Peace of Longjumeau is signed, ending the second phase of the French Wars of Religion. When you can't find anything else to fight about, religion is a good thing to fight. 1775, American Revolutionary War. On this date, Patrick Henry delivered his famous Give Me Liberty, Give Me Death speech at Prince Episcopal Church in Richmond, Virginia. 1801, Tsar Paul I of Russia struck with a sword. Then he strangled and finally trampled to death inside his bedroom at St. Michael's Castle. 1806, after traveling through the Louisiana Purchase and reaching the Pacific Ocean, Lewis and Clark and their Corps of Discovery begins their arduous journey home. 1821, Greek War of Independence, battle and fall of the city of Kalamata. 1839, a massive earthquake destroys the former capital, Inwa, of the Konbaung Dynasty, that's in present-day Myanmar. 1848, the ship John Wycliffe arrives at Port Chalmers, carrying the first Scottish settlers for Dunedin, New Zealand. Otago Province is founded on this date. 1857, Elisha Otis's first elevator is installed at 488 Broadway in New York City. 1862, American Civil War. The first Battle of Kernstown in Virginia marks the start of Stonewall Jackson's Valley Campaign. Now, the campaign itself was a Confederate defeat, but it did distract the federal efforts to capture Richmond. 1868, the University of California is founded in Oakland when the Organic Act is signed into law. 1879, War of the Pacific. Battle of Topiter. The first battle of the war is fought between Chile and the joint forces of Bolivia and Peru. 1885, the Sino-French War. Chinese victory in the Battle of Phu Lam Thao near Hoang Ho in northern Vietnam. 1888, in England, the Football League, the world's oldest professional association football league, meets for the first time. This day in 1889, the Ahmadiyya Muslim community is established by Mirza Ghulam Ahmad in Kwadlian in British India. 1901, Emilio Aguinaldo, only president of the First Philippine Republic, is captured at Planan Isabela by the forces of General Frederick Funston. 1905, Eleftherios Venizelos calls for Crete's union with Greece and begins what's now known as the Tirso Revolt. 1909, Theodore Roosevelt leaves New York for a post-presidency safari in Africa. Trip is sponsored by the Smithsonian Institution and the National Geographic Society. 1913, a tornado outbreak kills more than 240 people in the central U.S., while an ongoing flood in the Ohio River watershed was killing 650 others. 1918, First World War. On the third day of the German spring offensive, the 10th Battalion of the Royal West Kent Regiment is annihilated, with many of the men becoming prisoners of war. 1919, in Milan, Italy, Benito Mussolini founds his fascist political movement. 1931, Bhagat Singh, Sivaram Rajguru, and Sukhdev Tapar are hung for the killing of a deputy superintendent of police during the Indian independence movement. 1933, the Reichstag passes the Enabling Act of 1933. Making Adolf Hitler the dictator of Germany. 1935, signing of the Constitution of the Commonwealth of the Philippines took place on this date. 1939, Hungarian Air Force attacks the headquarters of the Slovak Air Force in Piska Nova Ves, killing 13 and beginning the Slovak-Hungarian War. 1940, the Lahore Resolution put forward at the annual general convention of the All India Muslim League. 1956, Pakistan becomes the first Islamic republic in the world. That day is now celebrated as Republic Day in Pakistan. 1965, NASA launches Gemini 3, the United States' first two-man space flight crew, Gus Grissom and John Young. 1977, the first of the Nixon interviews, there'll be 12 recorded over the next 4 weeks, is videotaped with British journalist David Frost interviewing former U.S. President Richard Nixon about the Watergate scandal and the Nixon tapes. 1978, the first UNIFIL troops arrived in Lebanon for peacekeeping mission along the Blue Line. Now, for those not familiar with the Blue Line, that's a demarcation line between Lebanon and Israel and Lebanon and the Golan Heights, which was set out by the United Nations June 7, 2000 for the purposes of determining whether Israel had fully withdrawn from Lebanon. Now, it's described as temporary and not a border, but actually a line of withdrawal. All righty. 1980. Archbishop Oscar Romero of El Salvador gives his famous speech appealing to men of the El Salvadorian armed forces to stop killing Salvadorians. Instead, they all came up here. 1982, Guatemala's government, headed by Fernando Romeo Lucas Garcia, is overthrown in a military coup by right-wing general Efren Rios Montt. And if you hear little sounds in the background, it's hailing here. 1983, Strategic Defense Initiative, also known as Star Wars. President Ronald Reagan makes his initial proposal to develop technology to intercept enemy missiles. 1988, Angolan and Cuban forces defeat South Africa in the Battle of Cuito Guanavale. 1991, Revolutionary United Front with support from the special forces of Charles Taylor's National Patriotic Front of Liberia invade Sierra Leone in an attempt to overthrow Joseph Siadu Momo, sparking an 11-year Sierra Leone civil war. 1994, the election rally in Tijuana, Mexico, presidential candidate Luis Donaldo Colosio was assassinated by Mario Alberto Martinez. 1994, U.S. Air Force F-16 aircraft collides with a U.S. Air Force C-130 at Pope Air Force Base and then crashes. Kills 24 U.S. Army soldiers on the ground. This became known as the Green Ramp Disaster. Also in 94, Aeroflot Flight 593 crashes into the Kuznetsk-Alatayu Mountain, Kemerovo Oblast in Russia, killing 75. 1996, Taiwan holds its first direct election and chooses Lee Teng-hui as president. 1999, gunmen assassinate Paraguay's Vice President Luis Maria Argana. 2001, the Russian Mir space station is disposed of, breaking up in the atmosphere before falling into the southern Pacific Ocean near Fiji. 2003, Battle of Nasiriyah, first major conflict during the invasion of Iraq. 2008, official opening of the Rajiv Gandhi International Airport in Hyderabad in India. 2009, FedEx Express Flight 80, a McDonnell Douglas MD-11 flying from Guangzhou, China, crashes at Tokyo's Narita International Airport. Kills both the captain and the co-pilot. 2010, the Affordable Care Act becomes law in the U.S. Unfortunately, for most people, it's still not affordable. That's what created what's known as the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. It was signed into law by President Obama, represents the U.S. healthcare system's most significant regulatory overhaul and expansion of coverage since the enactment of Medicare. Problem is, there's so much money going into Obamacare, there's very little left over for Medicare, and they keep raising the prices. 2018, President of Peru, Pedro Pablo Kuczynski, resigns from the presidency amid a mass corruption scandal before certain impeachment by the opposition majority Congress of Peru. 2019, the Kazakh capital of Astana is renamed to Nur Sultan. 2019, U.S.-backed Syrian Democratic Forces captured the town of Baghouz in eastern Syria, declares military victory over the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant after 4 years of fighting. Although the group maintains a scattered presence and sleeper cells exist across Syria and Iraq, ISIS is still out there. 2020, Prime Minister Boris Johnson puts the U.K. on its first national lockdown in response to COVID-19. 2021, a container ship runs aground and obstructs the Suez Canal for 6 days. Well, we got a lot of births and deaths on this date in history. Holidays and observances. Christian Feast Day, Gregory the Illuminator in the Episcopal Church. Guinier, Joseph Auriol, Ottone Frangipani, Rafka Pietra Chobak R. Reyes in the Maronite Church. Turibius of Magroviejo, Victorian Fermentus and the Companions, Day of Hungarian-Polish Friendship in Hungary and Poland, Day of the Sea in Bolivia, Family Day in South Africa, Smigus, Dangus in Poland and Ukraine, and Polish diaspora communities, Ministry of Environment and Natural Resources Day in Azerbaijan, Pakistan Day in Pakistan, Promised Messiah Day in Ahmadiyya, and World Meteorological Day. Let's see if we got anything else out there worth discussing. In 1026, Conrad II crowned himself King of Italy. 1066, the 18th recorded perihelion passage of Halley's Comet took place. 1490, the first dated edition of Maimonides' Mishnah Torah is published. 1657, France and England form an alliance against Spain. In 1794, Josiah G. Pearson patented a rivet machine. 1808, Napoleon's brother Joseph took the throne of Spain. 1835, Charles Darwin reached Los Arenales in the Andes. 1836, the coin press was invented by Franklin Beale. 1839, the first recorded printed use of the OK, which means all correct, occurred in Boston's Morning Post. 1840, the first successful photo of the moon was taken. 1848, Hungary proclaimed its independence of Austria. 1858, Elazar, a gardener, patented the cable streetcar. 1861, John DeFreeze becomes the first superintendent of the U.S. government printing office. 1861, London's first tram cars begin operation. 1880, John Stevens patented the grain crushing mill. It increased flour production by 70%. 1881, the Boers and Britain signed a peace accord ending the First Boer War. 1881, a gas lamp caused a fire in an opera house in Nice in France. 70 people were killed. 1889, U.S. President Harrison opened Oklahoma for colonization. In 1901, Dame Nellie Melba revealed the secret of her now famous toast. You know it as Melba Toast. 1901, it was learned that Boers were starving in British concentration camps in South Africa. 1901, shots were fired at Privy Councillor Bobby Donostev, who was considered to be Russia's most hated man at the time. Now they got a new one. 1902, in Italy, the minimum legal working age was raised from 9 to 12 for boys and 11 to 15 for girls. 1903, the Wright brothers got a patent for the airplane. 1903, U.S. troops were sent to Honduras to protect the American consulate during revolutionary activity. 1909, British Lieutenant Shackleton found the magnetic South Pole. 1910, in the Canary Islands, women offered candidates for legislative elections. 1912, the Dixie Cup was invented. 1917, Austrian Emperor Charles I made a peace proposal to French President Poincaré. 1917, in the Midwest of the U.S., four tornadoes killed 211 people over a four-day period. 1918, on this date, Lithuania proclaimed its independence. 1920, Britain denounced the U.S. because we delayed in joining the League of Nations. And eventually, the League of Nations collapsed. Okay, in 1920, the PKI, that's the Parasarikatan Communist of India political party, was formed. 1921, Arthur Hamilton set a new parachute record when he jumped safely from 24,400 feet. 1922, the first airplane landed at the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. 1932, in the U.S., the Norris LaGuardia Act established that workers have a right to strike. 1934, the U.S. Congress accepted the independence of the Philippines in 1945. Also in 1936, Italy, Austria, and Hungary signed the Pact of Rome. 1937, the L.A. Railway Company started using PCC streetcars. 1940, the game show Truth or Consequences was heard on the radio for the first time. 1942, the Japanese occupied the Andaman Islands. Also in 42, during World War II, the U.S. government began evacuating Japanese Americans from the West Coast to detention centers. 1950, the game show Beat the Clock premiered on CBS TV. 1951, U.S. paratroopers descended from flying boxcars in a surprise attack in Korea. 1956, Sudan became independent. 1957, a sad day for the military. The U.S. Army sold the last of its homing pigeons. 1965, the Moroccan army shot at demonstrators. About 100 people were killed. 1967, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. called the Vietnam War the biggest obstacle to the civil rights movement. 1972, the U.S. called a halt to the peace talks on Vietnam being held in Paris. 1972, Evel Knievel broke 93 bones after successfully jumping 35 cars. 1973, the last airing of Concentration took place. The show had been on NBC for 15 years. I used to watch it. 1980, the deposed Shah of Iran, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, left Panama from Egypt. 1981, the Supreme Court upheld a law making statutory rape a crime for men, but not for women. 1981, in a decision that was very wrong, CBS TV announced plans to reduce Captain Kangaroo to a 30-minute show each weekday morning. 1983, Reagan first proposed development of technology to intercept enemy missiles. 1983, Dr. Barney Clark died after 112 days with a permanent artificial heart. 1989, a 1,000-foot diameter asteroid missed the Earth by about 430,000 miles. 1989, two electrochemists, Stanley Pons and Martin Fleischmann, announced they'd created nuclear fusion in a test tube at room temperature. 1990, former Exxon Valdez captain Joseph Hazelwood was ordered to help clean up Prince William Sound and also ordered to pay $50,000 in restitution for the 1989 oil spill. 1994, Howard Stern formally announced his libertarian run for New York governor. 1996, Taiwan held its first democratic presidential elections. 1998, Germany's largest bank pledged $3.1 million to Jewish foundations as restitution for Nazi looting. 1998, the Supreme Court ruled that term limits for state lawmakers was constitutional, but it was unconstitutional for them. 1998, Russian President Boris Yeltsin fired his cabinet. 1999, NATO Secretary General Javier Solana gave formal approval for airstrikes against Serbian targets. Well, let's see, is there anything else of any interest anywhere? In 1953, the Treaty of Konstanz between Frederick I Barbarossa and Pope Eugene III. Frederick I Barbarossa was the Holy Roman Emperor. 1593, English separatist Puritans John Greenwood and Henry Barrow are tried and sentenced to death on a charge of devising and circulating seditious books. 1708, pretender to the English throne, James III attempts to land at Firth of Forth in Scotland, but he's turned away by the British Royal Navy. 1752, Pope Stephen II elected to succeed Zacharias. Unfortunately, he died 2 days later. 1849, the Battle of Novara, the King Charles the Albert is fighting the Italian Republic. 1867, Congress passes the Second Reconstruction Act over President Andrew Johnson's veto. 1882, the Edmunds Act, also known as the Edmunds Anti-Polygamy Act, is adopted by the U.S. to suppress polygamy. It's an evil thing. 1,300 men are later imprisoned under the Edmunds Act. 1883. I think we have probably come to the end of our little history segment. You know, we've been talking in previous shows about evidence of time travel. And surprisingly enough, if you look closely, there is evidence that something's going on. The question, of course, is what is taking place? We're talking about HARP. something that seems to have limited possibilities of research use. According to official definitions, it seems that every major power center in the world has decided they have to have their own version of HAARP. You have to wonder why. Why spend so much money, time, and effort to create such facilities if their functions are, as we have been told by our leaders, is so limited in scope? Now, there have been a number of theories, but one thing seems certain. Major governments all over the world feel they have to have their own version of HAARP for whatever might be the reason, and many think the reason is weather control. Now, with these two items in mind, the disaster in Lynmouth, England of 1952, and the fact that HAARP projects are popping up around the world, let's look at evidence that seems to establish a strange pattern in the history of humanity. Now, while this is not set in stone, it does seem odd and a little too coincidental to be ignored. These cases I'm going to talk about are support the idea if we're researching weather control, it might not be too outlandish that time travelers have the same capabilities or even better ones. And if they do, might they not use it to alter the course of events in history to what they consider more favorable outcomes? Now, the first one comes in 1274 A.D. You know, China has failed twice to invade Japan. The Mongol Emperor of China tried twice to invade Japan. The first attempt was in 1274 A.D., and the second effort took place in 1281 A.D. The Emperor, Kublai Khan, having failed in his first attempt, was determined a second time to conquer Japan. And this second effort failed as badly as the first. Nevertheless, these failures had major consequences in our world history. It's been said the invasion attempts are of a macro historical importance. I mean, to put it very bluntly, this was a major undertaking. And the failures of a successful invasion had wide-ranging and long-term consequences. Now, the reason for this is that the two failures spell the end of Mongolian expansion, and it helped define modern borders for both China and Japan. If the emperor had conquered Japan, he might well have gone on to other islands in the South China Sea, creating a Pan-Asian empire, so to speak. Now, of course, this didn't happen, so if Japan had been captured and incorporated into the Mongolian Chinese Empire, the world today would be a very different place. So let's look at the reason for these two failed attempts. And while it may seem to stretch the bounds of credulity, the reasons for the two failures are the same. Both unexpected, and something Kublai Khan, with all his power, couldn't do anything about. Both times, powerful winds and storms, maybe typhoons, wiped out as much as 75% of the invading Chinese soldiers, supplies, and ships. This happened twice, 7 years apart. The Chinese, in their second attempt, tried to invade Kyushu with over 4,000 ships at their disposal. They had 140,000 highly trained troops, which constituted a massive invasion force. But even before they could land and disembark the army, a typhoon, or as the Japanese referred to it, a divine wind, struck the coastal area and destroyed over half the fleet and the soldiers on those ships. The rest, those who made it to shore, were killed, and others who tried to flee in the remaining boats drowned. Destruction of the invasion force was virtually total. Now, the there's an important footnote to this event. Not only did the Chinese feel this was fate, for example, a divine intervention stopped them both times in exactly the same way, but of course, the Japanese felt the same way. Just at the time, the concept of a divine wind or a kamikaze came into being. A divine wind summoned to protect the Japanese from invasion, not once, but surprisingly enough, twice. So powerful an influence did this have on history, even during World War II, the Japanese summoned up the word kamikaze to instill courage and blind obedience in their pilots in order to have them crash their planes into enemy ships. And frankly, these kamikaze pilots instill great fear in sailors of the American fleets because they would deliberately plunge to their deaths in order to strike the ships of the Allies, acting as messengers of the divine wind or the kamikaze. But another important point to consider, it's a coincidence that not just once but twice a great wind and storm, the divine wind, arose to stop the Chinese from invading and conquering Japan. Now, one such event might be considered happenstance or good luck for the Japanese, but the identical event happening twice, 7 years apart, is a remarkable coincidence. When such a pivotal event takes place, one that could alter the entire history of the world, and twice an invasion fails for exactly the same reason, in this case, due to sudden divine winds, and they're 7 years apart, you have to wonder, did somebody generate these storms on purpose? Did they want the Chinese stopped at its then-current borders? You know, just as in the West, where the sudden death of Genghis Khan stopped the seemingly unstoppable Mongolian hordes from conquering all of Europe, here we have a similar event occurring, not once, but twice in the East. So is it so impossible to think time travelers might have resorted to using weather control to achieve their desired outcomes? I mean, on the face of it, what would appear more natural than Mother Nature interfering in world events to alter the results? Certainly some events in history are just a chance result of this happening. But in other events, the only lingering signs of such a interference down through time would be some odd coincidence, such as two divine winds saving Japan twice. Of course, the events were significant enough to make the participants see the intervention as divine, and they referred to these weather events as being divine wind. But even that being the case, they can be brushed aside if you want to do so, unless this sort of thing has happened more than just a couple of times. And if you don't think the outcomes can be momentous of such chance happenings, remember the two failed attempts at invasion by the Chinese allowed Japan to remain invasion-free for another 1,500 years. This gave them time to develop their own unique culture, build up their own society, economy, and war machine. And even now, despite being defeated in World War II, Japan is one of the top economies in the world, second only to the U.S. and China. And if you think this is just a fluke occurrence, a flash in the pan, so to speak, there's more. Divine wind and divine intervention seems to have occurred often. We're going to talk about two more prominent ones that support the possibility we're dealing with time travelers and weather control. Let's look at the Spanish Armada of England. 1588 A.D., the Spanish launched an invasion of Queen Elizabeth's England. Had a fleet of 131 ships and 25,000 soldiers. And once the Spanish established a safe beachhead in Britain, there were another 35,000 soldiers in Holland waiting to be brought over. Now, credit, partial credit, for the defeat of the Armada has to be given to Sir Francis Drake, who wreaked havoc on the fleet by sending fire ships into the midst of the Spanish ships, and it set many of them on fire. But this alone wouldn't have defeated such a huge invasion fleet. To avoid the fire ships, the Spanish simply moved their vessels further out to sea into the channel, where they had more room to maneuver. But at that point, a sudden, unexplained storm came up. This forced the ships to separate. With the English in control of the channel, the Spanish ships had no choice but to go north and around the British Isles to make their way home. Now, along the route of travel, they encountered more storms. They were even referred to as hurricanes, or hurricane-like. More of the ships were wrecked. Fully half the fleet was lost to many of the vessels wrecking on the west coast of Ireland. Huge numbers of lives of sailors were lost. The Spanish suffered a defeat from which they would never recover. England would assume command of the seas, growing ever more powerful, and wind up controlling much of the New World, while Spain went into a slow but steady decline. Here we have another small island about to be invaded by a powerful force from the mainland, and miraculously it's saved by a sudden storm. And even odder, the English refer to this intervention by weather as the wind of God, which has pretty much the same translation into Japanese as kamikaze. Now, Spanish historians, as well as their English counterparts, and even as the sovereigns of both countries felt at the time, it was God's divine intervention causing this historical outcome. Once again, we've got a divine wind rising up to save an island nation. In the case of Japan, it did it not once but twice. A few centuries later, the same thing happened in Europe with the British Isles being saved from Spanish invasion by a divine wind. So important an event was this last one that the storm was officially referred to in records as the Wind of God. It was commemorated as such in an issue of medallion showing a wrecked Spanish ship with the word God blew and they were scattered, emblazoned on the medals. Now, Britain had fallen to the Spanish. England, a Protestant country, would have been forced back into the Catholic fold. Generally felt that if this happened, the remaining Protestant countries would have eventually fallen one by one, and the whole course of history would have been profoundly changed. You see, Protestantism lent itself to a rising middle class, whereas Catholicism didn't. It was a more rigid religious and social structure, depending on a strong monarch and nobility for its support. So without that strong middle class, it's even probable the first industrial revolution would have never taken place in England and would have been delayed in Europe as well. Our world today would have been very different if this pivotal point in history had turned out differently. In fact, today our world might be very backward, technologically speaking, if the Spanish Armada had succeeded. But this isn't the end of the divine wind and storm saving the day. There's another major outstanding case. I mean, there are quite a number of others, but there's another major one we're going to talk about. Now, this one is referred to by some at the time as a mysterious coincidence that God Almighty himself sent the storm. So to this day, people still try to understand exactly what happened in Washington during the War of 1812. On August 24th, 1814, the British invaded the city of Washington, D.C., and they began setting fire to everything in sight, including the Capitol and the White House. As the fires were raging, a storm, or as many referred to it, a hurricane, suddenly struck. Said to be the worst storm to ever occur in the city. And that was said even by the oldest residents of Washington. This tempest literally overwhelmed the British forces. The rain put out the fires. Eyewitnesses claim a tornado came into being right in the middle of the British army and moved down the street where the main British forces were. Killed a lot of them, destroyed their supplies, and ruined many of their weapons. It said even cannon was tossed about. The storm did far more damage to the British than the American defense forces, by far. That's according to all available accounts. The weather-mangled British decided to leave the city that same day. When the British admiral asked a woman resident of Washington if these were typical storms for that area, she said, "No, sir. This is a special interposition of Providence to drive our enemies out of our city." Now, regardless of how the storm came about, the British army retreated. But even in retreat, they found the going difficult. They subsequently discovered their fleet had also suffered grave damage from the storm. Two ships were beached, and the riggings of many others were ruined. The storm, which was probably a very violent thunderstorm, was indeed propitious for the Americans, because it did what the American forces couldn't do, and that's rout the British. So this storm has become known as the Storm of Providence. And to this day, a lot of folks believe it's an act of God, a work of divine intervention, and another divine wind. I mean, it seems that at pivotal moments in history, out of nowhere, comes an unbelievable storm. So once again, and this time much more recently in history, we've got another act of divine intervention. a divine win, so to speak, that saved the day and right at a pivotal point, crucial juncture in history. So again, there are many of these sorts of events, but there are only a few that we consider major. It does seem, even as the people of those times certainly thought there's some sort of intervention, divine or otherwise, by someone or something. And it could well be they're right, considering the curiously coincidental nature of these events. Did someone deliberately tamper with the weather to alter the historical outcome of certain pivotal events? I mean, that would seem to be a distinct possibility. I mean, even with our cloud seeding and possible tampering with the weather through HARP, we could do it. So one event's just an anomaly. Two such events is a strange coincidence. What do you call that when you got three, four, or more of these bizarre events? And all these occasions are so powerfully similar in nature and all referred to as being some sort of divine intervention by the people involved with them at the time that makes it even more strange. It does give one pause to consider such things. Makes us wonder if they're in exactly what the people at the time said, a deliberate intervention, if perhaps not actually a divine one in origin. Now, in this last case would seem to indicate if time travelers were responsible for this intervention and destruction of the British troops in Washington, D.C., they had a reason to wish America to be victorious in the war. Well, now we're going to look at our final related case to see if there's more evidence to support the contention of time travelers altering history and wanting America to exist as it does now for some odd reason. You know, one of the early stories I heard about the American Revolution dealt with a vision that George Washington had during the dark times of Valley Forge. And it was reported in the National Tribune in 1859. And according to the story that supposedly came from Washington himself, he saw a map of the future United States. It was in 1777, at the peak of the American Revolutionary War, and George Washington had camped his army at Valley Forge. Now, at this point in time, things didn't look all that good for the Americans. In fact, the outlook was terribly dismal. Washington's army was in tatters, demoralized, and lost a succession of battles. Troops were without supplies, often even without shoes, and they were starving. Desertion rate was high. Washington wrote at the time that unless something changed quickly, his army would simply dissolve. And he, as the commander-in-chief, was utterly depressed at the situation they faced, and he was on the verge of giving up. But this time, in a cold and bitter winter, while his men often went without food, that something strange happened. He had a vision. He went off to pray in the woods, asking for divine guidance. And a figure garbed in white told George Washington of the victory to come that would be his. And furthermore, this figure garbed in white told him of the new history of the United States that was to come. He was shown a blank map of the future United States. Raindrops supposedly fell on the map, and where they did, cities appeared till the map was full. Apparently, the map was of how the U.S. would look about 100 or 200 years in the future. Now, this was all reported by an aide to Washington. And if this wasn't enough, there are also tales of the future president of America meeting small green-skinned natives, ones he thought were of a Native American tribe, or maybe ones that had donned green war paint for some reason. And there were a number of these visitations. It was said that they'd had a glowing shelter in the shape of a spear, and that sometimes this shelter would be behind his headquarters, and sometimes it'd be elsewhere. Now, this may sound outlandish, but it's based on a diary Washington himself kept, apparently, and it goes on to mention that these diminutive figures of these natives came out of a green glowing ball of light that presumably is the shelter he spoke of. At no time did it seem Washington describe them as alien or inhuman or in any other way. So again, we have a situation where someone had seems to know the future, seemingly influences somebody of great importance and of a critical juncture in history. This time, it's none other than George Washington who's being told the future of the U.S. He said it would become a great nation spanning a continent, but only if he's successful in his endeavors. Well, judging by his despondent letters at the time and the deep depression he felt about the poor chances of his army even staying together and winning a battle, let alone a war, such interference couldn't have come at a better time. It seemed this otherworldly help arrived exactly when it was needed most, at a desperately critical juncture for George Washington and the future of the United States. Now, given the people he described were small, neither green-colored or painted to look that way, but in no other way did they seem non-human to George, you have to wonder. And the vision of a figure in white showing him a map of the future United States wasn't singled out as being non-human either. So, who was doing this? Who was showing George Washington the future? Who were the greenskins, as he called them, that seemed to watch over him and stay close by to him? And who was the figure in white that figured in his vision? The answer, based on, and once again, Occam's razor, would logically seem to be time travelers. Again, even if aliens, they had a tremendous knowledge of the future, so they must in some way have been time-traveling abilities themselves. So whether human or alien, it would seem time travelers intervened in history yet again, and this time in a major way. If not for such intervention, there could well have been no U.S. as we know it today, but rather a colony of Great Britain. And think what effect this would have had on the events that followed. The world today, as we know it, would have been completely different. Now, combine this event with the storm of Providence and the War of 1812, and it looks as if someone definitely may have been manipulating events to see to it that a major power would arise one day, known as the United States. Was this to create a balancing power to that of Europe and Russia to provide the aid the Allies would definitely need to have one day in order to defeat the Germans, not only World War I, but World War II as well? And we know the United States stopped the expansion of the Soviet Union and ultimately caused that evil empire, as President Reagan called it, to collapse. We also know the United States now acts as a balancing power to oppose China's rising desires for expansion. So maybe the creation of the U.S. was considered a necessity to help control future events, because it certainly seems it's done just that over the last 200 or so years. And it certainly seems as if someone was actively promoting this to happen. We even have the concept of manifest destiny being created by America's in the early years of our new country. The belief we were meant to expand across the continent from sea to shining sea. Now, was this just a natural belief, or was it somehow planted in the minds of many people? Why didn't Canada have such a strongly stated belief? After all, they were virtually a twin nation to us at one point, on the same continent with the same forebears. Once again, the belief in a manifest destiny did help the U.S. to grow and expand and become the power it is today. And nobody can deny the United States influences world affairs to a truly major degree. So was this the intention of these time travelers? Is that why George Washington had a vision and saw a map of the future U.S.? Is this why greenskins came from their shelter of a glowing spear to watch over him so frequently? And was the storm of Providence of 1812 a factor in all this? If it wasn't, it seems strangely coincidental. So we've covered a lot of information about the fact that there's evidence of time travel interference. Now, in the last few shows, I've covered over 30 cases concerning time travel, but also for providing cases attack the issue from a number of different directions. We have evidence of several kinds. We use direct evidence of solid items found that seem to come from all ages in history, as well as recorded, pre-recorded, and truly ancient history. And these objects, which apparently date back to not only millions of years ago, but also sometimes even hundreds of millions of years ago, are hard examples of time travel intrusion. Unless you want to say that there was a much earlier civilization that arose that we have no records of whatsoever, except these hard items found sealed up in solid rock that's hundreds of millions of years old. Now, a scientist insists there should be such evidence of time travel interference in the form of solid evidence. We've provided it in the examples of fossil items found in solid coal, feldspar, sandstone, and other types of rocks. We've talked about everything from nails to bells that have been discovered. And let's face it, the cases we've talked about, only a representative sample of the many other cases that have come to light. They've not been proven hoaxes in any substantial way, although scientists, of course, label them that way without any evidence to support this conclusion. It seems to do so out of sheer speculation and desperation to find some answer, any answer, apparently to explain away these numerous objects. But they've never shown convincing evidence that the chosen examples are hoaxes. I mean, as I put the show together, I did a great deal of research, found nothing to call into question the validity of these findings. The principle of Occam's razor has been used throughout to show that since these objects are peculiarly human in nature, the simplest answer is that they're the results of some sort of human activity and not necessarily left by aliens at all. Now, you can't rule it out, of course, but if you go by Occam's razor, the principle that the simplest answer is usually the correct answer. Simplest answer is time travel. I'll refer again to the example. If you hear hoofbeats, think horses, not zebras. We've also shown that since no logical or normal scientific basis can be made for how these mysterious discoveries arrived at where they were found, there being no standard explanation of how they could come to be in such ancient fossil layers of rock, then the only answer, the most reasonable and simple one, would seem to be time travel. Either that or historians and archaeologists, almost to a man, have gotten it all and so terribly wrong. And we don't think that's the case at all. To summarize it, let's look at the statement made by the fictional Sherlock Holmes of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's detective stories. He once said, "How often have I said to you, when you have eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth?" And in this particular case, that answer, though it's improbable, seems to be time travel intrusion has been made into other and past times. Evidence has been left for us today, lies there buried in the ground, waiting for us to dig it up. And in many cases, we've done so all over the world, many different locations, and finding such strange objects dating to so many different eras. And there's so many of them. If they're hoaxes, someone or maybe many someones must have been working hard for over 200 years to produce all the items that have been found. Then we've got a second point that we've talked about. Somebody's been interfering in a big way with our entire history, and apparently right from the very beginning. Now, this has been shown by using available evidence. And what's more, that evidence we've categorized into a number of basic types. Solid evidence found in the form of objects such as iron pots and bells and nails. Two, evidence of momentous events having occurred that can't be accounted for in any other way than time travel, such as the residue of an ancient nuclear war, for one example. There are a number of locations around the planet that show definite signs of having been subjected to a nuclear blast. Sinai Peninsula is a main one, or a major one. Then we've got direct interference in human history. It seems so blatant as to be undeniable. Among the examples we talked about was Alexander the Great and the buzzing of his troops and war elephants by golden shields in the sky. Then we've got the large number of seers and prophets who've actually seemed to know a future they shouldn't have been able to know anything at all about. Then we've got the many intrusions into our history, as with George Washington seeing a map of the future U.S. and the green-skinned entities who visited with him. Then number four, we've even gone on to point out that some of these intrusions to alter the flow of history may have been in the form of weather control and plagues. And all of it together makes a very convincing case that there has been outside intrusion into how the human race has progressed. Now, we presented ample evidence that the time flow has been interfered with. We've chosen and shown what we consider some of the better examples of cases of time travel intrusion. We've even drawn current parallels of our own civilization's capabilities, such as with weather control, and the idea of time travel is using divine wind and divine intervention in the form of storms and the weather anomalies. When you apply the principle of Occam's razor to these events, and where many may believe they're the result of alien interference, the simplest and therefore the best answer is usually time travels. Since only somebody who knows the future would know how to change it to meet their own goals and objectives, you don't really have any other possible scenario. Now, of course, we don't rule out the possibility extraterrestrials may have time-traveling abilities and may have been doing these things, but if they exist, and evidence seems to support that they do, they could just as easily have done these things as our own descendants could. But once again, under the principle of Occam's razor, the simplest answer is that it's humans who possess this power, have the most to gain from interfering in their own history and of altering that history to outcomes they'd prefer to see. Well, it's hard to argue that this is all hoaxes and hokum when there's such a massive amount of information supporting the fact that there was interaction with this planet long before the human race came about. When you've got cases of human footprints being found alongside those of dinosaurs, and it's hundreds of millions of years old, you really do have to stop and think, how could this come to be? And those who are altering history, assuming that is a group of individuals, are doing it for a specific reason. You have to ask yourself, what are they trying to achieve? Well, of course, there's the argument that if time travelers did change the past, then it also altered the future, and quite possibly in such a way that even they themselves would cease to exist. It's known as the grandfather paradox. And the best example of that, you travel into the past and kill your grandfather, and you'd never be born to travel into the past to do it. Therefore, he wouldn't be killed, and then you would be born. Well, it would seem that this frightening paradox isn't a problem. This is because the most likely answer to this question, according to our scientists today and already adopted by most of them, is this isn't what happens when one alters something in a past time. According to them, and what they believe is a much more likely scenario, whenever someone interferes with an event in history and alters the future, it will then create a new timeline in which this takes place. The original timeline, one of the time travelers themselves, will remain unchanged. Well, on that note, we've come to the end of today's show. And while I can go back and change the tape and add it or delete, someone seems to be treating the future and the past and the present of the human race in much the same way. Think about that. Well, until tomorrow at this same time, this is Ken Hudnall for the Ken Hudnall Show, saying have a truly great evening.